All right.
Welcome back to 1 John. I'm going to start this morning with the prayer from Lesson 6. We pray, O Holy Spirit, you have given us the truth of your word. Help us test everything we hear on the basis of what you have revealed to us. Keep us in our church from the many false teachings that are in the world. Give us greater boldness to confess your word in love to those who do not believe and to those who are weak. We ask this in Jesus' saving name. Amen. We left off the last page of Lesson 5. And I don't think we even attempted to start answering the first question yet. So let me go back and read 1 John 3:21 through 24. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. First question is, when we are forgiven, our hearts do not condemn us. What can we be confident?
According to that verse, what is the verse?
Basically, that if we remain in him, he'll always be with us.
Right. Right.
He'll grant our requests and even greater, similar to the sermon this morning. That was very apropos.
Yeah.
Our lesson today.
It usually ties in with the lesson. It's really weird.
It's kind of like when you have a problem with Baptist preachers and he's looking right at you.
That too.
Yeah.
I thought Kevin did great this morning. He's going to be great.
He did a phenomenal job.
You know, one thing, a lot of the kids that are preached the first time, they're always reading. He didn't read. Yeah. He read from the Bible, but he didn't read the sermon. Yeah.
But it's really amazing when you watch him read. Just like you. Back as you were, and now look at you. Debbie got a hold of you and straightened you right up.
We're recording, so.
Last to five.
I'll circle back.
Oh, thank you.
And the second part of that question was, how will this confidence show itself?
Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have the grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. Nice gift.
Yeah. And now we're able to approach his throne without fear. So what is God's command or God's will for us?
Believe in Jesus.
And our fellow men. And love our fellow men.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love one another.
That's all right, Ronnie. You're a newbie. It's all right, you're a newbie. It's okay.
I have not seen what he is reading.
She takes after her dad.
What evidence do we have that we live in Christ and he lives in us? And that's from verse 24.
We obey his command to comfort him.
No, not 23, 24.
That is. Those who obey his commands live in him.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And we know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a sinner. I try to, but I don't do it well.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is our very conduct verifies it. Our conduct verifies his presence in us. How we act, our attitudes.
Yeah.
That's what Christ lives in us.
What can we do in our homes to foster the life of faith and love John is talking about?
Devotions, prayer, Bible study, all of these things.
That's what I would say too, yeah.
I think teach our children. And I was thinking, I grew up in the Midwest, and I was taught how to be unsafe instead of safe. And not intentionally, but who grew up wearing eye protection and hearing protection, and and dad would just tell, you gotta get it done, and I was literally taught how to be unsafe, and I joined the military, and it's like, oh, hearing protection, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, safety goggles, that's a good idea. In the same respect, you gotta teach your kids how to love.
Yeah.
Teach each other.
Yeah.
And don't teach them how to be angry.
Right.
You've got to live with your neighbors. It's easy to kind of live in your own little shell, but you got to live with neighbors. Not always do they conform to to what we believe. Some of them, how do we say, some of the non-believers of, they think Sunday morning is that you sleep in, read the paper, and, whatever. But you still deal with them, but deal with them in love. And that's not always easy, but and that's what you can show more to your kids than anything else, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Home is like a training ground for exercising love for one another more freely. I think that's it for five.
Another thing I was thinking of too, when I was a kid, if you did something wrong, you always apologize, you're sorry. And the response I got was, that's okay, or don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And Linda brought into our family, I forgive you. And it was like, wow, that's liberating. What a great thing to teach our kids to forgive, not just to ask for sorry, but then to hear, you're forgiven.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. All right, lesson 6 is on 1 John 4, 1 through 12. The introduction here is, how can you find a leak in a bicycle tire tube?
Put it in a bucket of water.
Water, that's one way, yeah.
You got a little soap, though.
Well, that helps,
yeah.
It's still bubbling plain water, though.
Well,
it's too much trouble to buy a new tube.
Yeah. What are they, $3?
You can see the American economy, chuck it, forget it. You haven't been in some of those third world countries where you see 18 patches on that stinking tire,
Yep.
No, it was when we were kids we had 18 patches. As you get older, you don't want the 18 patches.
Well, that was on my knees and pants.
Just think of the other things that are examined by testing. All tests use a standard of measurement. What standard do Christians have for distinguishing truth from error?
The Bible.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Channel surfing. And they had this station on books of the Bible that were excluded. So the title sort of caught my eye, and I don't know, I'm going to see what they're saying. And I have these professors and intellectuals, these books were arbitrarily excluded by a group of people 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason they should be excluded, and you start hearing what they're reading, and you say, it's not consistent at all with the rest of the Bible. Why would you think that should be in the Bible?
Yeah. With the book on Judas, the book of Judas, and that kind of stuff.
Judas, Gospel of Thomas. Christ was exploits of his childhood.
Yeah.
Where he had arbitrarily changed an animal or some dumb thing, and they're like, why did you even think that would be in the Bible? Some guy was having fantasies and wrote it down, so all of a sudden it's supposed to be in the Bible.
Yeah, well, they wrote, there's a lot of stories that I'm sure that people wrote at different times, and sometimes to prove a point that they wanted, their own intellectuals. You know, you can't come up necessarily and say, well, you know, it's kind of a strange thing. Well, why did these get in? Why didn't certain other books, you know, that they talked about didn't? We have to believe that the Holy Spirit guided these people in their decision making. That is a problem for an intellectual. Faith is a stupid thing that shouldn't be allowed. So, you know, you're starting off with two strikes and going downhill from that point forward.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I didn't see that. I saw it on TV, but I didn't watch it. Why do they think those books need to be in the Bible? What's their basis on that?
Because they're old manuscripts.
Just because they're old manuscripts, they were arbitrarily excluded.
Written at the same time.
Okay.
And they were witnesses to the events of the time.
Possible. And I love that. You hear that word very subtly put in there. They were possible. They can't prove that any of these people ever were or saw. The Gospel of quote Thomas that they had in this one was written 200 years after. Unless Thomas was an awful long-lived person, he was long dead and buried by that point. And yet, how can it be his gospel?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, this is based on the facts that people had found.
Yeah, but that's not a good argument, though, because all these people are dead who wrote these, and they're still, and the way they're interspersed in the Bible.
Well, they were alive when they wrote these. Some of the books that they had were written 200 years after, based 100 years after the person's dead, based on his writings.
Well, they could come back.
Yeah, I know.
You know, on the question here, you know, distinguishing truth from error. Mm-hmm. My cousin, you know, he was raised Catholic, but he was never, can't really, you know, I'm not a Christian, is basically, and he's coming to know the Lord now. And he's my age, and so he's been asking a whole bunch of questions, like, how do, you know, and I'm like, Steve, well, for, you know, and I'm just pointing, he'll ask a question, read that part of the Bible, or read this part of the Bible, or whatever, and it's like, a veil has been lifted from his eyes, like, wow. That's the standard, or that's what truth is. And I'm like, yeah. Basically, if the world's teaching you, Steve, throw it away. And look for the truth in the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting to see it from, he's trying to learn, and the world is, you know, he basically made a statement to me at Easter, I've been led astray for, you know, 45 years by the world.
Uh-huh. That must be neat to see.
Yeah.
Wow.
His name's Steve. Pray for him.
All right.
We'll take it, won't we?
Why is it important for Christians to be thoroughly trained in the Word?
Well, when you're not, there's lots of people that say stuff is in the Bible that's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. One thing, you know, all the Bible says that. Mm-hmm. Then where? Well, I guess
it was here. Or they take the verse to a point,
right,
and then don't carry on to do just to get that. And well, look at Jesus. He let the gal who was committing adultery go. Yeah, but the next line is very important. And what did he say? Go and sin no more. They don't like that line. They wanted to end it there because he shows love. You know, but there's a reason. But see, that's how you can take parts of it to a point to make your point.
And that's what the devil did with Jesus up on the tower and the mountain.
He used everything.
Quote most of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's what the devil also did with Adam and Eve. I mean, he took things as they kind of said and twisted them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't eat from this tree. And he says, did God tell you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Mm-hmm. God didn't say that. He said, one tree you can't eat from, but the gospel says all the trees. Mm-hmm. And you know, he said, you know, sure, no, you won't die. God God takes what God said, the devil takes what God says, and twists it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know the Bible, the devil's still doing the same thing today.
Yep.
And I think of the, onward Christian soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the passage about talking about God's word as a breastplate and a helmet. And I went to a Bible study once that talked about the various things God's word does for you. And the breastplate covers our vital organs,
mm-hmm.
Our heart and what the sense of live. And mm-hmm. God's word protects us, And talked about, you have offensive weapons, so you can attack the devil with your arrow or your sword or whatever you have, mm-hmm. with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And you can protect your body with your helmet and your breastplate, so the devil's attacks don't get you. So the word equips us to be Christian soldiers,
mm-hmm.
to protect us and to attack the devil's attacks
when mm-hmm.
he comes.
Yeah.
Well, we've been called to serve, so you can't serve unless you know whom you're serving, mm-hmm. and where you get that knowledge and that information from the Bible. So sharing the truth in love and respect is our goal we are after. We want to share the truth in love for that person.
And why is that important? And why is that important?
Because the love is what turns them on, basically the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
And showing them that what Jesus has done for us, is what's going to do it. So knowing discernment, knowing how to discern right from wrong, this is the only place we're going to get it. With the world's idea of right and wrong is exactly the opposite
mm-hmm.
of what Christ, we forgive the brother 7 times 70. the world doesn't do that.
That's
the old SOS stuff.
Yeah.
Shows us our sin, shows us our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else on that? The last question, I was kind of trying to lead you on that one.
The thing is, we aren't salespeople.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, a salesperson is trying to make a commission. Really, mm-hmm. they're really doing it for themselves.
And they're responsible for the sale, too.
Right, and so we're just to go and tell. And we tell it in love because God loved us first,
mm-hmm.
and it's not about us saving that person that doesn't know God or doesn't believe. It's we can't, no matter how flowery our words are or how what dynamic speakers or whatever we are, we don't save a person from their sins. It's the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. And our charge is just to go and tell. So it's not about us. We don't keep a scorecard. Which I converted one to. I got 3 last week and 4 this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, and this next section is on 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So it says, read Jesus' words in Matthew 24:11-24, and what does Jesus tell us will happen in our day? That's the one you're thinking of.
And even the elect will be deceived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there will be false prophets, and even the elect might be deceived.
Yeah. Well, it says that in Revelations 2, that God shortened the time, or even the elect would have fallen away.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
in the verse 24 where it says, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." That's a little unnerving if you think that, realize that these false preachers or false teachers could come and actually perform apparently some kind of miracles that now sound good, sound great.
Yeah. But he's also warned that you hear of a miracle being performed in the desert, don't go out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not for me. Different. Okay. I know he said that, I can't remember which quote it. Mm-hmm. That, you know, don't go out in the desert to see the false miracles.
You hear about this friend of mine, I haven't seen him in years, but we were stationed in Kodiak, Alaska together, and he was a Christian Science, went to a Christian Science church, and he was so passionate, but yet so lost. And I remember pointing that, you know, his gospel reading where he kind of touched his side, "My Lord, my God." I'm like, look right here, the apostles stand right before him, touches Jesus and proclaims he's God. How can Jesus not be God? It's right here in the Bible, right in front of you. Oh, he was saying, "Oh my God, you're here." And I'm, it's not what it said. You know? But yet, you know, he's the same Bible, and he's deceived. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, but we're reading the same verse, and he didn't see what I saw.
You also have to remember what Jesus' last words on the cross. "It is finished." There are going to be no more miracles. There are going to be no more, per se, you know, that he is going to be done. Yes, the apostles did some things, but, you know, really? You know, when you think, you know, he has stopped that end of it. You're not going to see these things. So when you start seeing them, they're not from the Lord.
Well, I think clarify that. The miracles have verified that Jesus, who Jesus is, has stopped. Now, the world can see, can call anything a miracle. Somebody getting healed from a sickness, that's a miracle. I mean, let's think about it. That people have been, the doctors say, "I don't know what happened. I mean, it's a miracle. I don't know why you're well, you know." And this has happened.
It just happened.
And people look at that as a miracle, you know.
It just happened the other day. Somebody might have read it, but the man who killed himself, he shot his wife in the head and then killed himself, and police come, and she's drinking tea and offers the police officers tea to drink with her, and she just kind of go along, and she had a bullet right through her head, through and through, and she was just kind of confused, but they took her to the hospital, and the doctor said, you know, they called it a miracle. Said it went right through her brain, but didn't hit anything that was vital to living. And she was offering police officers tea. She had a bolt for her head. Church, about 3 days ago.
Oh my gosh. Where was that?
I don't remember where. Well, it was here in the States.
Well, it has to have done something when they did it.
Just offered tea.
Tea alone.
And she hates tea.
Oh, we got something.
Yeah.
She got her boiling water. That's what the article said. She,
wow.
The officers came, and the husband was dead, and she was kind of in a confused state. Yeah. But, you know, she, "I'm having some tea. You want some?" And,
yeah. Oh, no. Doesn't matter. Yeah, like a baby. Maybe in a boxcar. Yeah.
She actually had a brain tumor that actually
cleaned it out.
It's a new innovative surgery.
That's nuts.
This next question is a little, I thought it was kind of grammatically incorrect. So, from where do the false prophets come? Or where do the false prophets go out from? He's trying to
there's
lead
no
us.
From there.
Well, the from's at the beginning.
You can't add things. Well, no, it's in the
from where?
From where?
From where?
You should say from where.
From where?
From the Antichrist. Spirit of the Antichrist. Yeah.
But where is that spirit?
The devil.
All over.
Where are they coming
from? It's in the world today.
Within the church.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yep.
wonderful stuff.
Comes from the church.
I think that's the scary part about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that that's the goal. Mm-hmm. The goal is to go after those that are believers. Mm-hmm. Because they will believe. Mm-hmm. You know, if they believe the faith that, you know, we're saved by grace alone, by, mm-hmm. in faith, by faith alone, they're prime subjects. So unless we are grounded well into the Word of God, we're prime targets. And people drop out of small churches and go to these mega churches for the one purpose. Mm-hmm. They get drawn there by these false prophets that are just dynamic speakers. Mm-hmm. And they can draw. They don't draw with discernment with the true Word of God, but with a false sense of what God is teaching.
Yeah.
And they just give them no. There's no law there. You know, it's all gospel, and that's not. You know, we need to be motivated. We need to motivate people by gospel motivation, not by law motivation. But the law has its place.
And that's what those community churches are pretty much are.
Well, not I don't know all. I mean, can't say that, but I mean, I'm just saying that what draws them is entertainment. People want to be entertained and feel good.
It's emotion. It's more than word. It's emotion.
Well, we have a neighbor that has taken his grandchildren to Bayside because it's fun. You know, all kinds of good music and good stuff.
His purpose for there is
give them something to do.
Popcorn in the lobby.
Well, he didn't say popcorn.
Well, it's basically entertainment. Well,
yeah.
And they have
this. Yeah. Yeah. Did you hear the ads last week for the Covenant Church before Easter? We're going to have Easter egg hunt, family portraits, and other fun events and an inspirational message.
Yeah.
But I missed something in this thing. What is Easter, guys? You know, they...
It's Easter eggs.
Yeah.
But we're well into this anyway.
I have no idea because they never certainly don't lay eggs, so I have no idea how they got into it.
And I think the thing that, going back to the lesson, is that it's very important that every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, mm-hmm. you know, and that's Jesus Christ has come in the flesh changes a lot of how we preach from that point on. He's come in the flesh. For what purpose did he come? Because we're sinners.
Right.
He needed to come here because we are lost and condemned. And that part of the message is what is important.
Oh, you keep jumping ahead in my lesson.
Right?
You keep jumping ahead in my lesson.
Well, stop it. Just stop it.
All great thoughts, Paul. You're right in line.
Where else do the false prophets want to go? But to the church. The rest of the world, they've got. That's easy to sway. They've got to fight the one and only battle they've got is to sway the people of the church. And that's where they're going to work on you. I mean, the others don't matter.
You know, and I wonder if it isn't along the line of, you know, the road to perdition is paved with good intentions, where some of these folks, they just think, you know, we just need to bring people in, you know, and so old things don't work, and so we've got to do, we'll compromise a little bit here and there, but, you know, it's all just about, you know, getting, let's make it a nice place, a fun place, and people want to be here, but they lose sight, because I'm not sure anyone sits there and goes, well, the Bible says this, but, you know, I'm going to be a false prophet and I'm going to undermine it. I think they're going to say, well, I think, you know, that what they really intended to do was this, but I think, you know, I think I've got a little better, approach.
Yeah.
The problem starts becoming the word I gets involved in an awful lot of those things. And what I do you do?
Nothing.
The I does nothing in this whole thing.
Early church growth writings.
Yeah.
It was strictly, we have to save more people. That was their goal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to subvert any of the true doctrine. It was just they were saying, the more we bring to church, the more hear the word, the more we'll be saved. Mm-hmm. But then they started down the path of compromise. Well, people don't want to hear this, so we won't talk about that because we still get the main message through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty soon you start compromising and it's down the slippery slope because after that, there's things that you stand firm with before oh, yeah, well, that's going to offend this group of people, so let's drop that too. Well, there's nothing left eventually. And I think that's where the mega churches are, is they've compromised so much to get the numbers in, and they think, I mean, I have no doubt they think they are doing God's work.
The way they handle the world's problems is small group ministries. Okay, you have young married couples. Oh, you divorced? Oh, we got a group here for you. Over here. And they just keep cubby-holing these groups of people that have, you've got problems with depression? Well, we have a group over here to help you. But it's never back to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We need to get you into the Word of God, and we need to study the Word of God, how to deal with it. That's,
I don't know if we know that for certain. I hate to be judging another church from what we see from the outside.
Yeah. What Paul just said, they do that.
Well, they have a
couple of seconds. Well, maybe, but you can't lump every. We're being very judgmental here. I mean, it comes within the scripture says it comes within the church, and that's a caution. But I'm not going to go and say that every other church but St. Mark's is lost. That's wrong.
Right.
I don't think anybody said that.
It's just
we're talking about discernment here. You need to discern. You need to go back to the Word of God. Yeah. And that's where we need to be led, always back to the Word of God. We're led to other things. We're led to people in their way of dealing with it, that we're leading people in the wrong way. If we don't lead them to the Word of God.
Why would they go to the church? Why would the Antichrist and the devil work on people in the church? Quote Willie Sutton, because that's where the money is. When he was a bank robber. Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. I mean, where are you going to go if you're the devil? Where the people are that you can't win.
But it's not just the churches either. We're talking about just the churches here. And this, people are working in people that are not going to church, and they're keeping them away from going to church. I met a lady the other day, in fact, embarrassed Carrie. She came out and grabbed me real quick and took me in the back, because she says, Mom, of all people out there, she had to zero in on you. And her thing is the churches are against gay marriages because there's no money in it for the churches. Because there won't be any children, and the children won't be there to propagate the churches and bring money to the churches. And I'm going like, whoa, it's not just in the churches. They work overtime in the churches too, but they're also, I mean, that woman goes and talks to 50 other people that aren't Christians. Whoa.
That makes sense.
Probably right. Yeah. It's all over.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got to keep moving on here.
Keep us on track.
This is kind of like the car, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a little bit. Why is the recognition that Jesus came in the flesh the cornerstone of our faith?
You recognize the Spirit of Christ. Quoting out of here 4:2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus has come into the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist.
But why is it so important that Jesus came in the flesh?
Because the wages of sin is death, and so someone who is sinless had to die in our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't be a goat, couldn't be a cow.
It couldn't be a spirit.
It was a sinless person died on that cross for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And rose again.
Defeated death and rose again. Lived a perfect life. Died and rose again.
He took on the very nature of man.
Mm-hmm.
He took on our nature. He came in our place.
Well, he had to conquer death.
Yep.
And he couldn't do that as a spirit. He had to be a human being to conquer death.
Yep.
Which he did.
That's it.
But I think there's more to this than just that Jesus was a human being, that he was God, because the Hindus and the Muslims and stuff say that Jesus was a man and he was just a great prophet. So there's more than just believing that Jesus was a man sent from God, but the fact that Jesus was God and all the other things that have gone, you know, the point that everyone has pointed out here.
Well, a mere man could not rise again from the dead. Once you're dead, you know, where Jesus, because he was God, was able to do that, which makes the difference between what the Muslims believe and what Christianity is.
He was more than an example. Uh-huh. He wasn't, hey, we should all try to be
thank
like
you, him. I was going to say that,
but... I mean, he is our Savior. I mean, he defeated death for us.
Hmm. Yep. Second part of that is, how do we use this teaching to test the spirits?
Well, anything that doesn't say that God is, Jesus was true God and true man. So if you take the Jehovah's Witnesses where they said he isn't true God, it's a false teaching. Because mm-hmm. they say he is a God, but not the God. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different deal. Right. And they're rejecting him because they go back to Jehovah. Jehovah is the only one that you can worship. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's a common spin on a lot of Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Muslims. I learned from Jacob. They all recognize Jesus as a good guy or a great prophet, or some form of that. Mm-hmm. Not as God.
Brings us into the next question. The spirit of the Antichrist was already prevalent at the time elderly John served as a pastor in the city of Ephesus. It came in the form of Gnosticism. How is the spirit of the Antichrist present today? And like you said, there's lots of churches that teach that Jesus was not true God.
Yeah. And even some of your main body Christian churches are starting to waver.
Yeah.
Where, you know, not all of them. And I think it sort of goes back when I was studying Pastor Barrett gave a Sunday school on the Catholic Church. And he opened every session with, remember, some Catholics are going to heaven and some Lutherans are going to hell. Mm-hmm. It's not because you're a Lutheran, that is not the answer. It's faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of your mainstream churches, even though the bottom most of them may still believe, you got pastors out there who were openly saying Christ did not rise from the dead. Mm-hmm. And and people are staying.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that boggles my mind. But it's been a gradual process of, well, we can't say this openly just yet, but in 2 years we can say that because we will have educated them to that point. And if you look on some of the websites, they're actually talking about the we have to teach the lay members the Bible. And that sounds great until you see their underlying deal when you read the Senate notes. It's like they actually believe the Bible. We got to convince them that there's some fairy tales in there and let them understand the difference between fairy tales and the truth. Once you say one thing's a fairy tale, you might as well throw the whole thing out.
Right.
Yeah. Christmas, Easter, and the Tooth Fairy, huh?
Yeah.
All together.
Yeah.
How do you make a change like that? It's just like, carving the Mount Rushmore, one small piece at a time. It didn't come very quick. It took many years. And that's how you're going to have to do it. And that's how the Spirit leads.
And that's how they do it in those churches. And I was actually talking to one pastor who doesn't believe in the resurrection. I said, why are you a pastor? He said, it's a very good income.
Oh.
And, whoa. I don't want to be you on Judgment Day.
Wow.
This is a special place for him.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dante's Inferno. The different levels. There's a couple of levels down there for him. He can pick and choose.
But and then when you talk about Gnosticism, it's all about something that I know that you don't. Mm-hmm. It's all about, and I think our culture likes to breed an intellectualism that, hey, I've studied this and I know about this and and you really don't, but let me tell you.
Well, that, and that's so true about Gnosticism. All that Jesus stuff's great, but there's more knowledge. You know, let us tell you. You can believe that, but there's more, too, that, you know, hasn't been revealed. Let us tell you about that.
Mormon church.
Yeah.
That's right. What they'll tell you every time. But there's more. Don't you believe there have been prophecies since the Bible was written, way back in Christ's day?
That's what came to my mind, too.
He tells us that this is the end, you know, the end of Revelation, and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can there be? Is it possible that there could be? Sure, there's possible. God can do anything. But this is what he said in the Bible.
Just in the Bible, you knew the Corinthians. They were educated.
Right.
So it's like, well, how can somebody rise from the dead? It doesn't make sense. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same thing today.
Yeah.
Intellectually, body really goes from the dead. Yeah. You're out there a little ways.
You're out of your mind, Paul, is what they say.
Yeah. It's nothing new. The devil uses the same things since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Well, I was like the definition thing, because it took me a while to understand that the definition of Antichrist is not somebody who fights against Christ, but in the place of.
Mm-hmm.
So it can, the Antichrist puts his arm around Christ, and we're buddies, but then slowly pushes them behind.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to replace Christ.
Yeah. The last question on the page is, false teachers don't introduce themselves with a greeting, "Hello, I'm a false teacher." Just the opposite. They're convinced they are right. Can you describe a conversation you've had with a false teacher? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But he's one that actually acknowledged it.
Yeah.
The woman that I talked to, she's just, if you heard everything she said, you'd have been probably turned gray. I did, but I'd color my
Well, it's frustrating when you talk to him. Because I know we had Jehovah's Witnesses at the door one day, and so we're talking about Christ dying on the cross, and saying, you know, he told the malefactor, the guy on the cross next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And but the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, I guess, in the soul sleep thing where you die and your body sleeps in the grave until judgment day. And so I said, well, this is telling you that when that person dies, he will see God, he will see Jesus at his death, that day, you know, right there. And he goes, "Oh, no, it says, verily I tell you today, you will be with me." So you can't...
Oh, he's changed, okay.
Yeah, so you change the imp, you know, you just change it. Oh, that's okay.
Well, the one thing you throw at him, two things. One is that at death, time is...
That's gone out
the window. We live in time as a human.
Right.
In God's term, there is no time.
Right.
And number two, the thing that drives them nuts is the blood. You say, you know, Christ shed his blood for you and died on the cross. They have a difficult time with the blood thing. You know, that it wasn't that bloody. I don't know if you've been scourged, but maybe it's bloody.
Have you read any of Deuteronomy?
Yeah. I mean,
or Leviticus?
So they have a little difficulty. But, I mean, time, we're limited in our knowledge. And that's the problem. Everybody is an expert. You know, a follower. And I love I know one that's talking now that he wants, you know, he doesn't mind having homosexuals in the church. And I said, he said, it's a lifestyle. I said, yeah, so is bank robbery, so is murder. I mean, they're all sins, aren't they? I mean, you know, well, that's different. Well, you don't pick and choose. My answer to him was, who died and left you is God. Yeah, I said, I try to take the words out of this. You just haven't had the studies that I had. I said, I'm glad. that really fooled me. But, I mean, you can get into those things. You know, I mean, they want to change it for whatever their purpose is. And I mean, and that's difficult because most of them are sharp. I'm not going to, you know, they've done some studies, and I didn't say it's correct, but they've done something. It's hard for everyone to to, you know, to sit there and fight them and show them their errors quickly. You know what I mean? You've got to be really sharp to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that book, Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, and I think there's some other, you know, religions that have it. But anyway, Pastor Carr does a very good job in how to do it. And I've used it a bunch of times with Mormons. And when I was in Kodiak, I was actually, I hope this is what happened, but the Mormon missionaries weren't allowed to come visit me anymore. And I hope it was because I was causing it. But I would have them over. I would cook them dinner. I tried to become a friend. Mm-hmm. And I didn't belittle them. I didn't tell them they were. But then eventually we'd get to a conversation that was meaty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's like, well, okay, so if I'm hearing you guys right, I'm a good person. I'm going to make it to at least one of your levels of heaven. But you guys are denying Christ. You have no hope if I'm right. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys are right. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, it shook them.
Yeah.
You know,
another thing to remember is the false teachers come from the church. Okay, the reason I emphasize that is because these were once believers. These weren't unbelievers that are coming at you with scientific fact or you know, society's reasoning. This is people who once believed but have been deceived and are now going down the wrong path. So
you know they would trust.
Yeah.
In many of it becomes their ego gets involved. It becomes, I can build a mega church. I can do this, or I can do this. The I starts getting in this again. And everybody likes their ego stroked a little bit. And when it gets a little bit too much, you know, then some of them, you know, they, well, I must be doing this right. Yeah. And I think that's where we start going up. They're well trained, they're well educated many times. They have, you know, looked at this. And the devil has found the flaw. Mm-hmm. And works on it.
It's interesting though, Dan, I never thought about it that way that you just said, you know, about that they're, that they are like Christians, that they're, that are even other people who used to be Christians. Mm-hmm. That's not like that. I never thought of it like that.
I had a old boss that I used to work for, and he was Mormon. He was raised Lutheran and met a Mormon girl, and okay, well, if I'm going to marry this girl, I got to become Mormon.
Oh.
Took it lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, but it's easier. I think it's easier to do that than it is to believe in Christ who died and rose. I mean, we believe it, we know it. But for people, you know, it's easier to believe that if I do something that's good, it's going to get you there, then, because the other is so kind of hard to understand, like the triune God. I mean, explain the triune God. You know, I mean, it's easier if you think, well, if I do something good, it's going to be, that's going to get me there. Much easier to do that.
Mm-hmm. You see, our whole philosophy is based on something that we don't do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's revealed to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe, you know, in the apostles' doctrine, which is revealed to them. You know, and then we follow this revealing. It's revealed to us through the Word of God. And that's, we work out of God's Word, not try to bring God's Word into line with what we think should be right. And that's where the problem lies. We try to bring how we think, and then try to bring God's Word into alignment to how we think. It's taking God's Word. Take communion. Communion is the biggest problem we have within our church. Mm-hmm. You know, the presence of God's body and blood actually in it. There's four elements being at communion. There's the bread and the water, and there's the blood, you know, and, you know, the blood and the body. Mm-hmm. They're all present when we take it. Mm-hmm. Why that happens, you know, how do you explain it?
Yeah.
But that, God said it, that's how it was written.
Thanks, everyone.
We don't have it next week.
Oh, yeah, no class next week.